Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will be assembling this evening at 7 for a period of Bible study. We urge you to come, bring only your Bibles, and visit with us. If you're completely incapable to attend, log on to eastabbotville.org, and there you can see and hear the services, as well as on the church's YouTube channel and the church's Facebook page. Keep these things in mind this evening at 7. In our study today, we'd like to ask the question that maybe has been on the minds at one point in time of almost everyone. What is life all about? Maybe the best way to answer this question is to look at what life is not about. Money is indeed powerful. It's a very influential thing. Sometimes people even go to the extent of saying that character doesn't matter. And some do anything for money and for whatever it buys. But life is not about possessions. That is not why that we are here. That's not what God had in mind for us being here on this earth. One can be rich and yet poor. It's in Luke chapter 12 that we read in verse 21. Jesus said, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So yes, we can be rich but yet poor. And that kind of treasure that we lay up for ourselves, is treasure that will be ruined. It's in Matthew 6 and verse 19 that Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Loving money is what brings a lot of evil. You know, we hear sometimes people make the statement that money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what we find in the scriptures. The scriptures teaches that it is the love of money that is all sorts of evil. In 1 Timothy 6, it says in verse 9, "But those that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts that drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Yes, loving money brings evil. In fact, it makes a person an idolater. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter in verse 5, it says, "Therefore put to death your members that are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." So, what we see then, that when we covet and therefore are guilty of idolatry, that is the act of the promoting of ourselves. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's an interesting verse, beginning with verse 13. God said that when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In verse 17 it says, "Then they say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." Truly that is the tendency that what occurs whenever it is that we are well-to-do in the things that are our physical possessions. We think that we are the ones that are responsible. It's through our knowledge, through our strength, that we have blessed ourselves with these things and fail, even as the children of Israel did, in all of the blessings that God bestowed upon them to recognize the true source of their blessings. So possessions can be a blessing, but they can also be a curse. And if they turn us away, if they do, as it says in those verses that we read, causes us to forget the Lord our God, then they're truly not a blessing at all. They are a curse. This is not what God had in mind for us. Money isn't as eternal as we are. In Luke 12, we find in verse 15 that Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses." Money can't give the things that we really have need for. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Then too, life is not about pursuit. You know, human appetites cry out to be satisfied. Our carnal lifestyles afford many ways to satisfy these appetites, and sad to say, mostly the satisfaction of these appetites are in unlawful, sinful ways. In fact, our society certainly produces many opportunities to fulfill our fleshly pursuits. Such a life, however, is reflective of nothing more than just animalistic behavior. In 2 Peter, I want us to begin reading and read in chapter 2, verse 9. "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." Drop down to verse 12. "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children." Now let's drop to verse 18. "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those that live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage." Notice the things that we've read in these verses. It says that corrupt desires are indulged in, there in that 10th verse, and that actions are based really on instinct, as what we read in verse 12. That carousings are commonplace, verse 13, and that fleshly appetites, fleshly desires are enticed, in verse 18. But the freedom that they think they have, the freedom that they've been promised, is false. Actually, in reality, it's slavery, and that we read in verse 19. Lives that are bent on fleshly pursuits are headed toward death, not life. In Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those that live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." Focusing on the things that perish with the using is truly a wasteful life. And that we see in Colossians 2 and verse 22, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. See, friends, this is not what God had in mind when it comes to the answering of the question of what is life about. This is not what God had in mind. Such pursuits as these, they're fleeting. In 1 John chapter 2, it's in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Then too, life is about preparation. In the book of 2 Corinthians, notice what we have in chapter 4 as we begin reading with verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the end of chapter 4, but when we see chapter 5 in verse 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent with the Lord, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with God. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. Friends, we know that life dishes out afflictions. As we read there in that 17th verse in chapter 4, we need to see them, though, as momentary. We need to look beyond the seen to the unseen. And that's what was stated in verse 18. Even if afflictions were to tear our house down, there's something that's better, that's waiting. And that's what we read in the first four verses of chapter 5. Courage is always needed. We need to make it our aim to always please the Lord, because judgment awaits. Friends, we see our time is gone. We thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.